الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الله فرض عليكم الحج فحجوا أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم حسين ان الله فرض عليكم الحج indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made hajj fard upon you. Allah has made hajj a fundamental from the fundamentals of Islam. Salat is a fundamental of Islam. Zakat is a fundamental of Islam. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is a fundamental of Islam. Shahadatain, to bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger. This is also a fundamental of Islam. And Hajj is also a fundamental of Islam. Allah has made Hajj a fundamental of Islam. Buniyal Islamu ala khams. Allah has made it fard. وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Hajj has been made compulsory upon people. Upon whom? Upon those people, man istata'a ilayhi sabila, who has the ability to reach Baytullah, who is healthy, who is fit, who has the financial means, whoever is able to reach, who has no obstacle, no shari'i obstacles, Hajj is compulsory upon that person. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Hajj a fundamental of Islam. Allah has made Hajj compulsory upon people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna Allah farada alaykumul hajj fahujju. Allah has made Hajj compulsory upon you, therefore perform Hajj. Make sure you carry out this obligation, you fulfill this obligation. So this is the first hadith that I would like to recite today. Inna Allah farada alaykumul hajj fahujju. Each and every person, whether male or whether female, whether brother or whether sister, should always spend his, her life making sure that he or she does not violate any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says, Inna Allah farada alaykumul hajja fahujju, Allah has made hajj compulsory upon you, therefore perform hajj. And when the Quran says that hajj is compulsory upon those people who are able to reach Makkah Mukarramah, who have the ability to perform hajj, each and every Muslim needs to find out whether hajj has become compulsory upon him or not. Whatever his circumstances may be, whatever her circumstances may be, whether we are studying in a madrasa, we are studying in a college, in university, we are working, we are setting up our own business, we are running a successful business, we have children to take care of, whatever our circumstance, we need to contact the experts, the respected muftis and the respected ulama, and we need to ascertain whether hajj is farz upon us or not. This is the first thing we need to do. Because if hajj is farz upon us and we do not perform hajj, and before the next year, if we depart from this world, we will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will be answerable for forsaking a fundamental of Islam, not just any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma says, Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. He says, as far as implementing and practicing the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are concerned, then there is no question about it being a major sin or minor sin. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something forbidden, whether it belongs to the category of minor sins or it belongs to the category of major sins, when a person violates that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is major, because you are disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing we all need to embed in our hearts and minds, that we are Muslims, and Muslim is he who has submitted his will to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So at every juncture of his life, before taking any step, he will question himself, what does my creator want from me? In the month of Ramadan, he will question himself, is fasting compulsory upon me? Because I am a Muslim. At the end of every financial year, he will question himself, is zakat farz upon me? During the days of Eidul Adha, he will question himself, is qurbani incumbent upon me? On the day of Eidul Fitr, he will question himself, is sadaqatul fitr incumbent upon me? He will not just guess. He will go to the muftis and find out. And if it is incumbent, he will carry it out. If it is compulsory, he will make sure that he fulfills this obligation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first thing I would like to emphasize to all my brothers and sisters. Inna Allah farada alaykumul hajja fahujju. There are times when hajj becomes compulsory upon us. We need to make sure that we find out from our respected muftis whether hajj is farz upon us or not. And once we realize that hajj is farz upon us, then we need to do the second thing, and that is to carry it out immediately. This is the second hadith. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Man arad al hajj fal yata'ajjal. One who realizes that hajj has become farz upon me, and as a result of this realization, one who makes the intention, one who resolves that yes, now hajj is farz upon me, so I need to perform hajj. But sometimes, even after resolving to perform hajj, he may delay. Hajj is farz upon me, therefore I have to perform hajj, but inshallah after 5 years. Hajj is farz upon me and I am going to perform hajj. But not this year, because I have to write my GCSEs. Because I have to write my A-levels. Because I'm setting up this factory. Because I want to buy this property. And I will not be able to perform hajj this year. Next year I will go. I will go after 2 years. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Man arad al hajj. As a result of one's research, when one realizes that hajj is farz upon me, and he resolves that yes, I want to perform hajj, he makes intention that yes, I want to perform hajj, then he should hasten. He should do it quickly. He should perform hajj that very year. He should perform hajj at the first opportunity, because hajj is farz upon him. If he does not perform hajj that very year, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him the opportunity to live till the next hajj, and he performs hajj the following year, he will not be questioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But do we have any guarantee that we will live till next year? If Allah has made hajj farz upon us, and he has also granted us the opportunity by granting us the season of hajj to perform hajj, but we delay, we leave it for next year, and before next year we depart from this world, then we will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many people in this world who have passed, upon whom hajj became compulsory, farz, and they left it for next year. And before next year, they remained wealthy no more. And throughout their lives, they were unable to accumulate enough wealth to go and perform hajj. So hajj had become compulsory. Thereafter, they lost their wealth. And they lived in this world for 20 years, 25 years. They were not unable to perform hajj because they were not able to accumulate that wealth again. So whatever we are able to do today, we should do it today, not tomorrow. Even if it is something mustahab, desirable, even if it is something optional. Man arad al hajj falyata'ajjal. In this hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that one whomsoever resolves to perform hajj, he should hasten. Not only for hajj. Whomsoever resolves to do anything good, don't delay it, don't defer it. On a day-to-day basis, we find ourselves doing this. We get up, we perform wudu to read the Quran, and as a result of shaitan's efforts, we defer it for later on. Don't defer anything. A good thought is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a guest. So entertain that guest. When you entertain a guest, that guest returns to your home. And if you turn your face away from the guest, if you ignore the guest will not come back to your house again. So a good thought is a guest. When a good thought comes in your heart and mind, then entertain it, it will come again. And re-entertain, it will come again. and continue entertaining, it will continue coming, inshallah. And whenever a bad thought enters our hearts and minds, we should ignore it. We should ignore it. And when we ignore the guest, when we disgrace the guest, it will not come back again. It may try a second time, it may try a third time, it may try a fourth time, but eventually it will stop coming. So number one, we need to find out from our respected muftis, our respected ulama, whether hajj is fard upon us or not. And not only hajj, regarding any issue. Is this fard? Is this wajib? Is this haram? Is this makruh tahrimi? Do I have to do this? Can I do this? Continually we need to seek guidance from our respected muftis, respected ulama ikram. And we ourselves need to increase our knowledge in regard to the do's and the don'ts of sharia. Then only we will be able to carry out the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, as a result of the knowledge we have acquired, when we resolve to do something, we should do it quickly, as soon as possible. And number three, when we do hasten, and when we do carry that action out, when we do carry out that command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as soon as possible, we should do it correctly. We should do it correctly. Man hajja lillah falam yar man hajja lillah walam yarfus walam yafsuq raja'a ka yawmin waladathu ummu. In this hadith, this is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, that hajj has become compulsory upon you. You have resolved to perform hajj, and you have hastened also. You are going that very year. Now, in order to reap the fruits of this hajj, make sure you do it correctly. Only carrying out something on its time does not reap fruit. If you do something on its time correctly, then you will reap the fruits. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man hajja lillah, number one, do it only for Allah. So make sure sincerity is there. There should be only one intention. I am doing this to please my creator. My creator who has created me, who has brought me into existence from nothing. And anything I have from head to toe has been granted to me by the creator. So if my existence has been granted to me by the creator, then anything I acquire is also granted to me by the creator. Because without this machinery, this 5 foot, 6 foot machinery, I would not be able to acquire ilm. I would not be able to acquire wealth. So anything I acquire, it is through the means of this body that Allah has granted me. So anything I acquire has been granted to me by my creator. So Allah has granted me this body. Allah has granted me health. Allah has granted me enough wealth to be able to go to Makkah Mukarramah and perform Hajj. So my creator who has granted me everything, he is asking me to go and perform Hajj. So I am going to perform Hajj to make him happy. This is my only intention. I am not going to perform Hajj because people embarrass me whenever they question me, when are you going to go for Hajj? You haven't performed Hajj yet. Hajj is farz upon you, despite that you are not going to perform Hajj. My parents, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, they keep telling me, so let me go. I am sick and tired of listening to these phrases every day. For it is my desire to be called Haji Sahib. It's a title I want, Haji. I should be able to tell people, I am also a Haji. I have also performed Hajj. No, man hajja lillah. The first condition for any deed to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sincerity of intention. And number two, the second condition is that a person should be very, very careful in regards to the do's and the don'ts of that action. In salat, there are certain do's and certain don'ts. In Saum, there are certain do's and certain don'ts. In Hajj also, there are certain do's and certain don'ts. These do's and don'ts are, in the terminology of Sharia, known as ittiba'i sunnat. Doing things according to the method shown by our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the second condition for any deed to be accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person comes to the masjid, he performs his salat in the first row with total humility and sincerity. Total humility and sincerity. And everything is correct. But he is performing salat without wudu. Not acceptable. Because he is not following the complete do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wudu is a do. You have to have wudu before performing. Then you have another person who comes to the masjid. He performs his salat in the first row with all the do's and don'ts. From the fiqh perspective, it is a perfect salat. The best salat that anybody can perform. With all the sunan, with all the mustahabbat, with all the adab of salat. But sincerity is void. He is doing it for name and fame. So in any deed that we carry out, we have to have two things. One is ittiba'i sunnat, second is ikhlas. Carrying out the deed according to the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and number two, sincerity. So man hajja lillah, one who performs hajj with sincerity. And walam yarfuz walam yafsuq, according to the way shown by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He carries out all the do's and he abstains from all the don'ts. Now his hajj will reap fruits. What will Allah grant him? Raja'a kayawmin waladathu ummu. He will return from his hajj like he was on the day his mother gave birth to him. Pure and clean from all sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So today we have discussed three ahadith, alhamdulillah. First thing is, we all need to find out in future whether hajj is fard upon us or not. This year also we should try to find out whether hajj is fard upon us or not. Once we realize hajj is fard upon us, then we should perform hajj that very year. We should try to perform hajj this very year, if hajj is fard upon us. And if we are unable to go, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will excuse us. There is no way of me going this year because of booking. There is no booking now. I will not be able to secure visa. Then Allah will excuse us. And we need to resolve for next year. And when we do go and perform hajj, we need to make sure, or those brothers who are going this year, those sisters who are going this year, we need to make sure that we perform hajj with sincerity. And we perform hajj according to the way shown by our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then only we will reap the fruits of hajj in this world and also in the hereafter. And these three things we need to keep in mind regarding the whole Sharia. We need to learn as much as possible from the ulama, from the company of the ulama, by reading books written by authentic, reliable ulama, by increasing our knowledge, what is farz, what is haram, the do's and the don'ts. And we need to hasten. If Allah is commanding me to do this, I need to absolve myself from this responsibility as soon as possible. Not tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. This is don't, I need to repent and stay away, refrain from it.
straight away.
And whatever I do, whether I carry out the do or abstain from the don't, I need to be sincere. I need to be doing it only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I need to be doing it in accordance with the teachings of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا. اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهله ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك.